playoffs. You're talking about playoffs?
Yeah, we are. We're talking NBA playoffs. This is the Dynamite Sports Podcast. I'm Dad with my three sons, Tyler, Noah, and Trey. They are TNT, and we are here to bring you the latest and greatest in the world of sports. Guys, it's NBA playoff season, and so we've got four really good matchups going on right now, some evenly matched teams in the NBA playoffs, some teams we thought that were going to be there, some teams we didn't think were going to be there. And so let's get started by talking about the Eastern Conference. We have a throwback matchup, the Indiana Pacers and the New York Knicks.
Man, what is this, the 1990s?
Yeah, where's Reggie Miller?
On the sideline, calling every game for some reason. I don't know who decided to do that. Put him in a tough position.
No, he didn't. He's relishing it.
Oh, yeah, he is.
He is in his element. Yeah. So, Tyler, the Knicks fans, they're kind of on a roller coaster.
Act like
they?
You've been there before. Come on, guys.
But they haven't.
I've heard so many people across sports media, oh, the series is over. It's tied. It's 2-2, okay? You lose a 40-point game without your star in the playoffs, that's going to happen, all right? It's tied. It's a tied series. You're not down 3-2. You're not down 3-1, all right? The Pacers still have to win two more, one of them in the Garden. You're going to be fine.
All right. And the big score for the Pacers has been Tyrese Haliburton. And so, guys, what do you think of his shooting?
Oh, my God. He's got the ugliest jump shot since I don't even know.
Uglier than Joakim Noah's free throw.
That was a bad one.
No.
Yeah, it's not a pretty jump shot. Looks like Amin El-Hassan, which is maybe a niche reference.
I have no idea who that is.
It's he's not even an NBA player. He's an NBA scout.
See, that's why I don't know him, because he's an NBA scout.
He's also a media personality. He's been on many TV shows. He has multiple podcasts. Anyways, doesn't really matter.
Halliburton's going to lock up.
It's an ugly jumper.
Halliburton's locked up Brunson for the whole series, and it's going to continue.
What?
Brunson has the longest streak of 40-point games in NBA playoff history, I think.
Brunson had 10 points in the first half of a game against them.
The last game. Yeah. What about the three before that?
Okay.
The three before that where he had 40 each. Haliburton is not a defender. Get out of here.
So Indiana and New York tied at 2. And so any thoughts on where this series is going to go?
Well, obviously the Knicks fans are all gloom and doom. I think that the Pacers are an abnormally bad team on the road. Like, they're absolutely atrocious. They're really good at home, obviously. They haven't really lost at home very much in the playoffs, at least this season. I think that the Knicks are still going to squeak this one out, regardless of whether Josh Hart has any ligaments left in his knee, whether Mitchell Robinson actually has an ankle left, whether Jalen Brunson or OG Anunoby still have hamstrings to run with. I think the Tom Thibodeau Knicks are going to squeak out a victory here. All that just to get obliterated by the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Final.
I feel like the Pacers are kind of like the Cowboys of the NBA, except they're a lot more likable. Probably.
Explain.
Like, you don't like the Cowboys, but I don't like the Cowboys, but I don't hate the Pacers. In the Pacers, they can't win unless they're at home. Cowboys can't win at home.
I would say that the more apt comparison would be calling the Knicks the Cowboys.
Yeah, I would agree with that. The
a lot
Knicks
of arrogance. No, not a lot of winning since the 1990s.
Yeah, but that's why I said the Pacers were a lot more likable.
Well, yeah, the Pacers are. The only reason there's still an NBA franchise in Indiana is because you don't sell grandma's house, right? Huh. That's the only reason it's there. It's a historic franchise. It's one of the originals. So that's why they're likable. They don't win a lot, but they've been there forever.
Yeah.
So in Tyler's estimation, whoever comes out of this series is going to get destroyed by the Celtics. So let's talk about the Celtics and the Cavs. It was a 2-1 series coming into tonight. They are currently going at it without Donovan Mitchell in the lineup.
And yeah, they're down about 15 right now with like 8 to play as we record this. So it's not looking good.
The Celts were the top team in the NBA record-wise for the regular season. So and Donovan Mitchell, kudos to him, had played phenomenal basketball down the stretch in the series with the Heat. And in the games against the Celtics so far, he's just been a one-man show. But with him injured, obviously that's going to really color this series. And so any hope for the Cavs?
Without Donovan Mitchell, they have pretty much nothing. They have Caris LeVert, who somebody on one of the social medias said spins a wheel every possession with Michael Jordan and Anthony Bennett on it to see which one he's going to play like, which is pretty accurate. He's either going to literally baptize somebody at the rim or he's going to airball a three-pointer, it seems like.
No in between.
Besides Donovan Mitchell, I mean, Evan Mobley has been pretty much absent. Jared, the lights are too bright for Jared Allen once again. They don't really have anything outside of him. And ultimately, I think this is going to lead to him leaving the Cavs, whether he asks out or opts out after next year due to his contract. But the Celtics, I mean, there's nobody in the East that's going to beat them. They're just that kind of super team. I mean, Jason Tatum is putting up 20 a night. He on like terrible efficiency, and it doesn't even matter because Derek White is suddenly the Stephen Curry, and they've got Drew Holiday, and they've got Kristaps Porzingis, and they've got Jaylen Brown. Those are six guys that could be all stars, and so it really doesn't matter what you throw at them, at least from the Eastern Conference. Now, whoever comes out of the West, I think, will still win the championship.
Yeah. Donovan Mitchell's back has to hurt from carrying this. From the Cavs, right?
Would you call it a Cavs strain?
Aw, you stole my joke.
I did steal your joke. I felt like it. Sorry, dude. That's why you don't tell the good ones during the pre-production meeting.
Someone might steal it, and Tyler stole the touchdown. All right. Well, moving to the Western Conference, as Tyler mentioned, there are some great matchups over there in the West. The team that Noah has to win it all, kind of surprising to me in our preview episode, Noah has the Mavericks winning it all. They're facing OKC. They're up 2-1. So, Noah, how do you feel about the Mavs so far?
I feel like Luka's been a little absent in the playoffs so far. I've seen a lot of Kyrie dominating. They just give the ball to him, and he'll lock everyone up. So, he's been playing really good. They haven't seen a lot other than that, though. I'm looking forward again to this game with Shea on the ropes now, 2-1. I mean, I would not have expected Shea and Chet to go down like this in a series.
Oklahoma City plays with a lot of poise for a team whose average age is like 24, 23. I think that's absolutely like incredible. I think that they're going to win tonight. I think that the Mavs are going to drop one here. The Mavs have shot a lot more free throws. And the Mavs, honestly, defensively don't impress me. So I think that is going to be a deciding factor, especially tonight, which I don't even know if we'll have this posted by the time that game is starting. But I think this series is going to end up tied tonight.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be a good game, as always. This series is going to look really good in the books.
Absolutely. Like, unfortunately, it's two relatively small market teams.
Yeah.
So not a lot of people are watching it. The same reason nobody was watching Cavs Magic on NBA TV. It's just not drawing a lot of eyeballs when you look at the other series. Like, Indiana Pacers, Knicks is going to draw a lot of people to watch. Classic. Celtics Cavs is going to draw a lot of people to watch.
Defending champs versus Ant is going to draw a lot of people.
Yes, exactly. Like, that's going to draw a lot of people to watch. So this is the series, I think, that out of the four that's slipping through the cracks for people.
Which is crazy.
It's a really good series. This is two MVP candidates up against each other.
It's the future of the NBA, too.
Absolutely.
We see the youngest team against one of the best.
The white whale.
Yeah. Two of the best guards.
Absolutely.
All right. And so Denver, Minnesota. That is the playoff series that has my interest the most. There are some really good matchups. There is the Jokic-Gobert matchup in the post. There's the backcourt matchup of Jamal Murray and Anthony Edwards. So, guys, how do you feel about this series also tied 2-2?
This is going to go to 7. It absolutely is going to. The Nuggets were down 2-0, and suddenly ESPN puts up a graphic that says they have a 1% chance of victory.
That made me laugh.
Like, come on. Unstoppable force, immovable object. Unstoppable force being Anthony Edwards. Immovable object being the Jokic brothers as a whole. I think one of the brothers got arrested for assaulting a fan during the previous series. I'm not even kidding about that. Those guys are very scary. But like Jokic has reminded us over the past two games, why is the MVP? And I think we need to start taking away some defensive player of the years from Rudy Gobert.
Yeah.
And he looks like a fraud. Once again, for like the eighth year in a row, he's been game planned out of the playoffs despite being the defensive player of the year. I just don't understand how that happens. Like, yeah. Suddenly, I mean, obviously teams just stop driving to the rim. They start shooting more mid-range, more floaters. So I just don't understand how this keeps happening to Rudy Gobert. Even when they put Karl Anthony Towns on Jokic, it doesn't even matter. Let Gobert be the help guy. It hasn't really had an effect over the last two games, despite Jamal Murray playing hurt. They've not even needed him to close the games, which is usually his role. Michael Porter Jr. is another bright spot for that team. He has, I believe, like a 62% true shooting percentage, which is a measure of efficiency. And that is almost all three-pointers, which is... It's like third or fourth in the entire playoffs. So he's been playing out of his mind, behind only like Jalen Brunson and I believe it's Josh Hart, ironically, who is grabbing 19 rebounds a game. It seems like I don't even understand how that's going to happen, what that meniscus is going to look like after the season. But yeah, I'm very intrigued by this. I have no idea who's going to win the series. Obviously, I'm wearing my Nuggets hat because I believe that Jokic is, once again, going to lead us into the future. Which is funny to say because he looks like the past. he literally looks like a caveman. The loaf of
bread of tomorrow.
Exactly. The best thing since sliced bread. Whole bread.
He looks like big, tall Larry Bird.
He's a 7 foot... Yeah, he's a 7 foot Larry Bird, I would say, is probably not even that accurate, though, because he's not mobile or agile like that. I've never seen anybody with less agility. That guy's going to play until he's 50 because he doesn't jump, which means he's not going to tear up his knees. He's not going to get injured.
He's very efficient with his motion.
The best part about it, though, is you can put both of your hands in his face and he'll still make it. Like,
you could put both of your hands wherever you want to. If you play 23 and a half seconds of perfect defense, he's going to turn around from the logo. And he's going to hit it, without a doubt.
From behind his head.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He could granny shot it from full court and make it, and I would fully believe you. I swear.
So Tyler is in love with Jokic here, but Anthony Edwards is also one of these guys that seems to be the future of the league for sure. So yeah,
he's taken over the cultural zeitgeist in basketball. You make a couple dunks in the NBA playoffs, and suddenly you're Jordan, I guess. I don't know.
Or his son.
It's happened to Jimmy Butler and Anthony Edwards now. I just need to see them both in the final so they can really decide which one is actually MJ's son. Competing for daddy's affection.
No, it'd be super funny if that series is like Jordan comes on the court and just like grabs a mic and it's like, I'm your father, Jimmy. It's like a reverse episode of Who's the Father?
Pat Riley's been saying this whole... Well, now off season because we're not technically there. If Jimmy doesn't play good, he's not getting another contract. Like,
I think that's very interesting, but we should definitely save the off season talk until after the playoffs.
I mean,
I would think.
I think we should save the off season talk for the off season.
I don't want to talk about the Heat off season. I'm not excited for it. Another year of banging our heads against the wall, trying to get a star and failing. That's what I feel like it's going to happen.
Okay, so depressing Heat talk. Let's cheer ourselves up with some NBA trivia.
Oh, yeah.
Tyler and Trey both have trivia, so who wants to go first?
You can go first, Trey.
I was going to say ladies first, but...
Oh, okay. Fine.
Ooh. Ouch. Ooh.
I'd be a better lady than you anyway, so it doesn't even matter. It was not the flex I thought it was. All right. So we have the top 10 all-time NBA leaders in fouls. You guys may begin whenever you feel.
Draymond Green.
Nope.
Dennis Rodman.
Nope.
Oof. Two bad ones right
here. Lambeer.
Nope.
Oof. Oh, my God.
Okay, we got to stop talking about bad guys.
You guys are throwing air balls
here. I think we need to start talking about longevity.
LeBron James.
Nope.
Oof.
Abdul-Jabbar.
Abdul-Jabbar is number one.
Oh, my God.
Longevity.
Yeah, longevity.
4,657 all-time
longevity,
fouls.
MJ.
Nope.
Oh, he was only 9 years. Never mind.
Longevity and paint protectors.
Oof. I mean,
Chamberlain.
Wilt Chamberlain. Does not make the list.
I'm thinking of like tall Gobert. Guys. I don't know why.
No.
But
Shaq.
Shaq is number 10. Oh, yeah. 4,146.
4,000 at 10.
Mm-hmm. It's a range of about 500 fouls here.
Dirk Nowitzki.
Nope, no Dirk.
Nah, KG.
No.
Oh, it's a weird guy to not
be. Guy's got to reach back here.
Yeah.
Mark Eaton.
Good Lord.
No. despite how many fouls are called in the modern era of basketball, there's no modern era guys here.
Hakeem Olajuwon.
Hakeem Olajuwon, number 5, 4,383.
Karl Malone.
Karl Malone is number 2, 4,527.
Patrick Ewing.
Yep.
Nope, no Ewing.
Oh, my God. What?
Different Nick.
I was talking about a Pacers player the other day who has 3 DPOYs. It's, I can't remember his name now. Right when it's...
Bill Russell.
No Bill Russell.
Willis Reed.
No Willis Reed either. That's a shocker. That's anytime we play trivia, that's the guy you miss.
Charles Oakley.
Charles Oakley, number 4, 4,421 career fouls.
Charles Barkley.
No Charles Barkley.
I was going to say that one.
You guys are missing number 3, number 6, number 7, 8, and 9.
Ooh, God, we got a long way to go.
Yeah.
Tyler said different Nick. Did we get that, Nick?
Yeah, you did. Charles Oakley.
Kevin McHale.
No, different Celtic from that same team.
So Robert Parrish.
Robert Parrish, 4,443, number 3 on this list. These last 4 that you're missing are a little obscure.
I'm trying to think of longevity now.
That
I'm,
might get
I'm
a couple
it.
Of these. I wouldn't expect Noah to get any, or Trey to get any.
Oh, wow.
Didn't mean to single Noah out like that.
Not David Robinson.
Not David Robinson.
Dwight Howard.
Not Dwight Howard.
Alonzo Mourning.
What era are we talking about here?
80s, 90s. Mostly 80s.
My main area of expertise in the NBA is like 2000s, 2010s.
Anthony Mason?
Nope.
Ben Wallace.
No Ben Wallace.
Oh, that was the player I was looking for.
Yeah, there you go.
I forgot he was a Pacer.
Man.
I was thinking about the Wizards.
I think we're going to have to call a truce on this.
Yeah.
Fill us in, Ty.
Number 6, Buck Williams. 4,267.
Yeah, obscure center from the 80s.
Yep. Number 7, Elvin Hayes, 4,193.
Okay, fair enough.
Number 8, Cliff Robinson, 4,175. Number 9, Kevin Willis, 4,172. It's a pretty good list.
It is a good list, yeah. It's a good mixture of guys that are like
guys
stars and guys that you have no clue.
No idea.
All right, so Trey, what do you got for us?
So I have the 7 most NBA playoff wins since 2010.
This is players, right?
By team.
Oh, by team.
Yeah.
Warriors, Heat.
Whoa, slow down. Ooh.
All right, you have one and two.
Ironically, they never played each other in the finals through that span.
Ironically, yeah.
Although one of them has almost always been to the finals since 2010.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sorry, I had to
Celtics.
Celtics are 3. You know, something funny is that they have 101 wins in the playoffs, no rings since 2010.
They have no rings since 2008.
Exactly.
Man. Yeah.
You know who doesn't
have
a playoff win?
They have like 2 rings on color television.
You know who doesn't? What?
Yeah, exactly, right?
Excuse me.
They have like 3 rings since integration.
Okay, so you you said something about 2008 on the same, so there was like a whole list. Mm-hmm. It was like a whole Instagram post. You could like scroll it. The Pistons don't have a playoff win since 2008.
Yeah, that's not surprising.
Zero.
They've been pretty awful.
Wow.
They've barely made the playoffs. They're one of the losingest teams of the 2000s.
Okay, wait, hold on. We're getting
jumping
off track.
Back into this line.
So we have the Warriors, 1, 2, the Heat, and the Celtics.
Cavaliers.
Yeah. Number 4, 66.
We're going right down the list. This is
Spurs.
No.
No, they had like 1 or 2.
Actually. 68.
Really?
Okay.
Which number? 7?
4.
Oh, right there.
Yeah.
Lakers.
7.
Ooh. Thunder.
6.
Wow, they
that's
made
all
a
of them.
That's
wow.
all of them. Wow,
okay.
I wasn't expecting the Thunder
job,
there,
guys. Good job.
Okay, so I'm gonna read off all the numbers. So the Warriors have 108 with 4 rings. The Heat have 107 with 2. The Celtics have 101 with 0. They have a huge drop. Spurs have 68 wins with 1 ring. We have the Cavaliers with 66 in 1 ring. We have the Thunder with 62 in no rings, and then the Lakers with 52. And 2 rings.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It is quite crazy. Wow.
Very interesting.
Really
stat.
A testament to the dynasties we've had. If you did 2000s, the Spurs would probably be number 1.
Yeah.
Right.
I would
assume. Most
they
of those
won
came
5 rings, right?
The beginning of the window there.
Yeah.
I think all 68 of those might be in the beginning.
Yep. All right. So we're going to change gears again. Last episode, we dedicated a lot of time to talking about uniforms. because there were some uniform releases. I ranted against the City Connects. The City Connects have been really good to the Rays, though.
Yes.
Shout out to Sky Ray and Skate Ray, who are bringing
all hail Skate Ray
some positive mojo.
And Fat Manatee Dad. Let's not forget Fat Manatee Dad.
Actually, let's give a shout out to Randy Orozarena, who finally started hitting the ball.
Yeah. Andy Diaz. Thank God.
So the Rays have been on a roll, and they interesting, the Rays started just wearing the City Connects every night because they kept winning. They stopped wearing them because they had certain promotions like Mother's Day where they had to wear the blues, and they lost those
and
games.
The Devil Rays game, and both of them they've lost.
They lost the Devil Ray Friday because they do that every Friday.
Yeah. So shout out to the Rays marketing team for coming up with some great uniforms, and shout out to the Rays for finally playing some ball again.
Very superstitious team. They've all got mustaches now, too.
Interesting. I didn't think about that, but you're right. You're absolutely right.
It's a thing.
Yeah, because I think the Yankees, it's like a no beard rule with the Yankees.
Yes. Right.
Yeah, it's been that way. Very old fashioned. Yeah. Tonight.
How about DeLuca?
Johnny DeLuca. Hey. Johnny Baseball. That's what they're calling him.
Tammy DeVito.
Well, I mean, the Rays could make this interesting. They started off slow, you know, around 500.
Creeped back to 500, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, looking ahead, if they can just hang around, they're going to get a lot of pitching back.
McClanahan, Baz.
Springs.
They just got Taj Bradley back. Taj Mahal.
So yeah. it could get very interesting for the Rays. So we're going to keep a close eye on that. But since we're on the topics of uniforms, Trey has really been interested in this and was looking at – you were looking at all kinds of uniforms this week,
right?
I was
looking at all kinds of them, yeah.
Yeah, like defunct leagues that don't exist anymore. Am I right?
No, actually. They all exist still.
Okay. Defunct. So Trey's come up with a list. So can you introduce your list?
So I have 10 random it's in no order, but it's just uniforms that need to come back, but teams aren't fun.
So Trey is saying that the teams are not fun because they don't recognize what the fans want, right?
Yes, what's cool and not cool.
All right.
So
Trey's going to understand the bit. I get it now.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So one that I have, so I'm just going to like show it on the table and show it to the camera, is the white helmet Eagles.
Oh, what am I looking at?
You can show it on the camera.
I could.
We all have the computers in front of us, Trey.
White helmet Eagles.
Okay. Oh.
Those are cool.
I don't know about that one.
I don't know. You don't like it?
I don't know. I really like the Kelly Greens.
Only if they wear the single bar face mask.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the problem with it.
I really love the Kelly Greens, and I don't think anything's going to match up to that for me. Unfortunately. Yeah. Thank you.
I don't know. The Stormtrooper look can look good on some teams. So
that's true.
The Browns look good.
I think if they went with white face masks, I think it might.
Yeah, that would look good.
I agree. Okay, yeah. I can see the vision now.
Yeah, you can see it now.
Okay, what else you got?
The next one I have is the Vancouver Grizzlies. Oh, hold on. Is my phone? No, it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I already know what the branding looks like. It's pretty awesome. Mike Bibby.
I have three
big
different
country.
I have three different NBA 2000s teams.
My forgot about big country.
Brian Reeves, big country.
So I have like three teams on this list from like the late 90s, early 2000s NBA teams that just like ditched really cool looking logos. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of
stupid. Yeah, because that Grizzly Bear like was pawing the ball and reaching out.
Awesome.
They should honestly just go back to Vancouver.
They should. Mm-hmm. So here's one that I haven't thought about in a minute. The Rays Fauxback.
Oh, the Fauxback. Those are nice.
Yeah, what happened to that?
So
Fauxback.
Yes.
Fauxback.
Like the
because they're throwbacks, but they never actually wore them.
The Joe Burreaux.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, ooh. Joe Burrow.
Go Tigers.
I was wondering where that was going to, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So it's not really a single uniform, but it was a concept that was years and years ago. How about Nickname Weekend?
Interesting. So they did that in the NBA for a short time as well.
Uh-huh. I remember there was a Heat player. I think it was like Stallinsworth or something.
Stallinsworth?
I can't remember it. Hold on.
I'll still go and I'll make a team on 2K.
Please.
And I can still make nickname jerseys as one of the jerseys.
My favorite one was Longo.
Well, and it was like a Players Week or Players Weekend.
Yeah.
NFL does it too, where they let them wear like their cleats, my cause. It's kind of like, you know, give the players some freedom.
But like, it's cooler because nicknames.
Oh, no, the nicknames were awesome.
Yeah. Shuttlesworth.
Yes, there we go. That's what I was thinking of.
And the Coltrane.
Yes. Mm. Okay, so here's one. And it's a franchise that has a bunch of cool uniforms. They've been like a lab for Nike for years and years. But I've gone through like 50 of their uniforms. How about this Oregon Ducks jersey from 2012?
I mean, there's so many good ones.
I like so most of their Ducks breast jerseys. Cancer ones from like October of, mm-hmm. of 2012.
Marcus Mariota.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, the feathers on the shoulder are cool.
I said something about like NBA teams getting rid of cool logos. All right, this Pistons.
Yeah, the Pistons rebrand was bad.
I don't want to mess with that horse.
So cool.
That horse is cool.
Those Pistons were good too. Yeah. That was before they stopped winning.
That was before they were
like the Ben
bad.
Wallace.
Yeah, Ben Wallace. So, Rip Hamilton, which y'all know Rip about Hamilton. Rip Hamilton.
I couldn't find a name for this uniform. So I just like to call it, I forgot the Baylor mascot. It was a bear.
Huh. I like those
bear,
colors.
The bear paw on the shoulder.
Better than what they wear now.
Shoulder looks
is
cool.
Is that like throwback to RG3?
What number are we on?
I don't know. I have a few more left.
And war players wearing giant shoulder pads too.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
I need the comeback of the neck roll. Yes. The cowboy collar.
The Mike Allstott right there.
Again, so this is a concept, really, kind of. How about the 95 Pro Bowl uniforms?
Back when the Pro Bowl meant something.
Just please bring those back. When the Pro Bowl actually was, like, relevant.
Make the Pro Bowl real again.
Watchable.
That should be a president's bid. Make the Pro Bowl real again.
Trey Vasallo 2024, make
get
the Pro Bowl
red
real
hat.
Again.
No, I'll work on it.
Oh, yeah.
It's got to be red.
Making the Pro Bowl better again.
It's got to be
okay, sorry.
University that would win at least 200 electoral votes.
Yes, it would.
Unfortunately.
So this is the last one of NBA teams getting rid of cool logos. Must I say more?
Ooh. Yeah, you're right. I was hoping for the Raptors here.
Me too.
Okay, so that one's just too obvious, I think.
I mean, yeah. I do have that jersey.
You have that jersey.
Tracy McGrady.
Exactly. T-Mac.
Yeah.
Do you guys know Vince Carter and Tracy McGrady are cousins?
Really?
Yep. That's actually crazy.
They actually found out when one of them was at like a family reunion.
Some very strong.
His like grandma called him. He's like, "Do you know Tracy plays in the NBA?" Vince was like, "What? Yes, we're cousins."
Some and very strong Achilles tendons in that family.
Oh, for sure. Are you kidding me?
Very elastic.
Yeah. And my final one. It's a little bit of a disappointment, maybe, but please bring back the red helmet Bills.
Oh yeah. Definitely.
Please, for the love of God.
It's not going to make a difference now if they weren't going to win a Super Bowl. So.
Yeah. Jim Kelly, K-Gun, Bills.
Yeah.
Finally.
But this time they actually have a tall quarterback.
Finally win one.
Yeah.
Please.
I mean,
it's a fan base that definitely deserves it. They definitely put a lot of effort into hurting themselves.
Doing too
games.
Much.
Yeah, they do play
might,
for
might be a little bit
tables.
Too far.
If they bring back the red helmets, though, we gotta have someone wear the Bruce Smith, where it's just a giant.
Oh,
face
the full
mask.
Cage.
Like
we need to bring those.
Well,
back,
something
too.
Else. They had two players, and one of them was a safety named Mark Kelso. He had like a double helmet,
what a
so
name.
It was like an extra dome on top Ooh. Of his helmet.
Is that the guy from that 70s show.
Should my next list be like NFL like uniform things that we should bring back?
Uniform quirks.
Yes. Oh,
I got some for you. We'll research together, Trey.
A new thing, actually, that the NFL is bringing, the practice helmet thing, that pads, they're allowing them to play with those.
Now. Yeah, they're going to paint logos on them.
Yeah, and everybody's very mad about it. I don't understand.
It's just safety.
It's player safety, guys.
Yeah. These snowflake football players are just too soft.
Oh, back in my day, we used to walk uphill both ways.
They want to keep their brains intact. What's wrong with these players?
Goodness.
Back in my day, people died on the field.
They don't want their insides to turn to jelly.
They don't want to pull an Antonio Brown right now.
I'm all in favor. I think it's great that they would paint the logos on the outside, so really you wouldn't lose anything. I think we would get used to
really,
it.
It doesn't make any difference.
Just like we've gotten used to all kinds of
it's
other
things.
It's going
to be the
features.
Same product on the field, guys. It's football. I don't know what to tell you.
Exactly. So, all right. Well, we've still got our takes, and we will have more moving forward. We are looking forward to the rest of these NBA playoffs, and Trey is going to do some more research on uniform quirks. I can't wait for that.
Yes,
so
it's going to be fun.
We will follow along, and we will shout out our friend Mike Breen. He had a great call the other night again, didn't he?
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see the Kevin Harlan thing with Jamal Murray as well?
No.
They were back-to-back calls. Okay, I'll describe them for the podcast audience, even though I don't know if we can even get the rights to those clips. So there's obviously the Andrew Nembhard step back. Again, in the Pacers-Knicks game, he had previously airballed 2 3-pointers in a row, and then he steps back from the parking lot and nails one, and we get the classic Mike Breen bang-bang, which is very rare. And then the next night, Jamal Murray from half court to end the half hits one and then stares down Kevin Harlan in the eyes because they're like face to face because he's right in front of the scorer's table. It was awesome.
Did Kevin Harlan say bang on the
stare down?
No, that's not his call.
No, that's Mike Breen. I don't remember what his is. I like the classic, what's the Miami Heat? Eric, I don't remember his name. Unfortunately, jeez, I feel bad for that one. But he goes, kaboom. I love that.
Yeah. Me! Hey!